I am your host, Josh Gillespie. Thanks for tuning in this week. We're going to have a great episode. It's our Christmas episode. We're finishing, month number 5 here on FTR Radio, and what better way to celebrate month number 5 than in December? It's Christmas time, so we're going to have a Christmas episode. We're going to be talking about traditions. Mark Warner's going to be giving us what he does, how he celebrates his Christmas traditions with his family. I want to be discussing how I celebrate my Christmas traditions with my family. And, of course, in between that, we're going to have Ask a Rhino with this week's guests, Sean Hackbarth and Miterbox of Twitter. So stick around for that. But I want to tell you about a famous story about the great boxing champion, Muhammad Ali. And it goes something like this. Supposedly, Ali was on an airplane when a flight attendant walked by and noticed that he hadn't fastened his seatbelt. She kindly reminded him to fasten it, to which he reportedly said, "Superman don't need no seatbelt." The flight attendant then supposedly replied, "Superman don't need no airplane." Now, I don't care who you are, that's funny. But like most humor, it also makes a point. A point which I think is really relevant to what is currently going on in Washington right now. Democrats on the Hill believe that they are Superman, or at least Ali's version of Superman. They appear to have this unexplainable aura of invincibility which flies in the face of any conventional wisdom, to say nothing of the results of this past November's election. We currently have a federal deficit of over $1 trillion for the second year in a row. Our skyrocketing national debt is approaching $14 trillion, with $4 trillion of that coming in the last 2 years. And there is no end in sight, and unemployment is hovering near 10%. Based primarily on those facts, the American people sent a resounding message in November that the recklessness promulgated by the Democratic-led House and Senate had gone too far. In response, Democrats all over have said to voters, "Democrats don't need no seatbelt." In fact, Speaker Nancy Pelosi jammed through the House a full-year spending resolution which pretends that this past November occurred in an alternate universe. Embarrassingly for the majority, this bill contains the unsustainable high rate of spending passed by the Democratic majority last year. Even worse, attempts to make permanent the higher federal agency budgets that have been bolstered by the so-called temporary stimulus dollars. Senate Majority Leader is no different, though at least he's holding on to his job beyond this coming January, thanks in no small part to Sharon Angle and her embarrassing campaign against him this past year. In a shameless attempt to roll back the clock to 2008, Reid upped the ante by trying to ram through a spending bill that spent even more money than the Pelosi bill, as if trying to top Nancy Pelosi is something to be proud of. Reid's bill topped 1,900 pages with a price tag of over $1.1 trillion, which equates to about $575.13 million of spending per page, or the equivalent of a Barack Obama trip to India, at least if you believe some of the conspiracy theories out there regarding the president's India junket. But the president has taken enough hits from me in previous episodes, so we'll leave him alone, for now. Here's the curious part of this entire episode. Americans are fed up with a Democratic-controlled Congress, which was a few embarrassing Republican candidates away from not losing just the House, but also the Senate to the GOP in the most recent election. The Democrat-controlled Congress currently has an historic disapproval rating. According to the latest Gallup poll, a staggering 83% of Americans disapprove of them, which just happens to be the worst Gallup has measured in the more than 30 years of tracking congressional job performance. And that doesn't signal that they need to fasten their seatbelts, then I'm not sure what really can, short of ensuring that Barack Obama becomes a one-term president. But even that won't happen for 2 more years. However, as of January 5th, 2011, Republicans are on the clock as John Boehner takes over as Speaker next month. We all remember quite well what happened the last time the American people gave the GOP the keys to the car. Not only did we proceed to drive the car into a ditch, we took out a few mailboxes and trees along the way. But the voters, either in their infinite wisdom or lack of short-term memory, have presented those keys back to us, though one could argue they're handing those keys over in much the same way our parents did to us when we were 16. However, I'm confident that the voters won't have to explain to us that we don't need no airplane. I'm hoping that the election of Barack Obama has made that loud and clear. Well, I hope you guys stick around. We're going to have a great show. Mark Warner's coming up next. We're going to be talking traditions with him. Plus, he is a rhino, so we get a little taste of Ask a Rhino. We'll be talking to him about the Dream Act and Don't Ask, Don't Tell. There was some action in the Senate this past weekend. And then, of course, You've all been waiting for it. The next Ask a Rhino segment with Sean Hackbarth and Miter Box of Twitter. And then I'll give you what I do for the traditions after that. Anyway, stick around. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRRadio.com.
Hey Gillespie fans, this is Fingers Tiberius Molloy. Listen to the Snark Factor with Fingers Molloy every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time only on FTR Radio. And check out my website, fingersmolloy.com.
Supreme Rhino. He was in our Ask a Rhino, our inaugural Ask a Rhino segment last week. And Mark, in our segment coming up, we'll have two new people to Gillespie, people you are familiar with on Twitter, Sean Hackbarth and Miter Box. This is going to be a good show. And I don't want to jump ahead, but, you know, since you are essentially our token Rhino here on this show, I want to talk to you about what happens in the Warner household over Christmas, but, you know, this weekend has been incredibly busy with Senate action, with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the DREAM Act. So, Mark, being that you are a rhino extraordinaire, an establishment conservative who only cares about money and his own feelings, how do you feel about the DREAM Act? Or, excuse me, not the DREAM Act, but Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Feel uncomfortable with this now?
You know, I don't care.
I mean, really, I'm almost thinking that this should be the Ask a Rhino segment now, but...
I don't care. And here's why. First of all, I didn't even think they should have been debating it on the Hill, wasting the whole day to debate that, because we're at 10% unemployment. We don't even have a federal budget.
There is that, yeah. I mean, we continue working on continuing resolutions to fund the federal government. And if one doesn't get passed by Tuesday, the airing of the show. So by the time this show airs, if a continuing resolution isn't passed, then the government shuts down.
Here's my thing with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. All right?
Yeah.
They did interviews with people. And on Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC, they did interviews. They were on both sides of the aisle with it. And some of the interviews were, you know, I served in the military for 18 years. They found out I was gay and I got a dishonorable discharge. Wait a second. Are you telling me this guy or girl served 18 years in the military? They figured out or were told or, you know, blah, 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 that they were gay. And you kicked them out? And my thing is like, they served their country for 18 years honorably, might I add. And they got kicked out. For that? Really? I mean, come on. It's stupid. I mean, if they're willing to serve their country, why not? I mean, there's a lot of people that won't go out there, jump in a battlefield, and shoot a gun and take shots at them. But if some of these people are, what's the big deal?
Well, I thought it was interesting. I was reading, I think it was, I want to say maybe it was Politico. After the Senate voted on it, and whereas this was probably a huge deal for the gay community, the gay and lesbian community, gay, lesbian, transgender, you know, GLBT,
right,
whatever, for their community, what I thought was interesting is that this, for the rest of America, people will kind of shruggingly approve. Not so much that they're upset or they're like, okay, we've been pushed into this, but, you know, really, we have bigger concerns, so, yeah, all
right,
go ahead, serve.
That
you
was
know,
we have
80% of, apparent, according to this article, 80% of Americans believe that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be repealed anyway, which that seems like an extraordinarily high number. I won't doubt
well,
it.
But it comes down to, I know there's going to be a lot of conservatives going after me on this.
Well, that's okay, because you're a rhino.
Right. So it doesn't really bother me. I have no soul either, so.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Pit of darkness.
But here's the thing. This is not a moral issue. This is an, I mean, it just isn't. I mean, you're in the military. You know, you, and I saw some people go nuts over this. I can't believe that. Whoa, slow down. How does this, I mean, I can't believe our tax dollars, whoa, they've been in the military for years now.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you've been paying them.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal now?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There were some military officials that were saying, you think this might not be a good thing during a battlefield operations that we're currently in, blah, blah, blah. And there were a lot of military leaders going, this is going to be okay. We're going to get through this. I mean, come on. There's, when you're in battle together, you kind of learn some things. And I've never been in the military, never been in battle, so I can't really honestly say that. But, you know, I've had family members in battlefield. And, you know, they learn things and they see things. And, you know, the guy being next to you, if he's protecting your life, so what if he's gay? I mean, if he's willing to take bullets for our country, who cares? I mean, that's my opinion. I might get, you know, beat up for that one, but oh well.
Well, you know, considering that you are...
It comes back down to, how does it affect my life? If they're willing to serve our country on the battlefield, fly planes into danger zones, you know, be in the Navy or whatever... They should be honored because they're heroes, in my book.
Is it wrong that when you mentioned the Navy, that the Village People song "In the Navy" popped through my head right away?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So, Mark, this is the.
I got that song stuck in my head.
Hey, you brought it up, all right. You know, since this is our first Christmas episode, essentially, for Gillespie. You know, we've been on FTR now. It'll be 5 months here at the end of December.
Thank you, Fingers Tiberius Malloy.
And Duke, Thomas LeDuc.
And all those guys.
Yes, for their I don't know why, but they trust us.
Look at Fingers. Come on.
Fingers is a pro, man. You know,
he is a pro, but come on, seriously.
Okay, good point. But it's our Christmas show, Mark, and later in the show, I'm going to be sharing with the FTR audience what is part of a Gillespie tradition that we won't get to celebrate this year because we're spending time with the in-laws and we're celebrating their traditions this year. But what's a tradition in the Warner household? Now, what's something that you and your wife do, or you and the extended family do, that is something that you look forward to each year, outside of drinking?
What's that?
Outside of drinking, heavily.
No, but not my extended family doesn't do that.
Okay.
Yes, extended family, no.
I'd say if I was stuck with you, I'd drink excessively as well.
I probably would, too. I mean, look at me.
Yeah, I know.
Why do you think... Oh, never mind. I wouldn't really. I mean, you know, Christmas Eve we do things with her mom's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Have a Christmas Eve at their house. I would say probably that side just drank a little heavily.
She just didn't hear you say that, did she?
No.
Okay.
No. And it's her. Is it? Her mom's brother-in-law. Yeah, he has a couple bottles of whiskey sitting there. It's pretty funny.
Oh,
by the time
that
we get,
should be fun then.
It's pretty funny to watch him. Hey, Merry Christmas. But the next day we'll go over to her parents' house and we'll do breakfast and we'll read some scripture and move on and then open presents and then go to her grandpa and grandma's for the rest of the day. So it's pretty simple. Pretty simple Christmas. We won't get too crazy.
It's pretty simple. But that's a very nice Christmas.
Yeah. I don't want it to get all, you know, I don't need all that. It's simple, and it's all good.
Nice.
I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I've never, I mean, somebody asked me that question a couple weeks ago, Christmas tradition. I'm like, what? Really? Like,
well, come on. Christmas is about tradition.
It's about opening presents up the next day. Please.
Oh, please. You heartless, soulless bastard.
I'm a rhino. I can't help it.
You are soulless, and inside of you is...
I'm not against traditions. I mean, but I'm just saying, that's what we do. That's a tradition that we do, and it's simple, and it's... You know, it just is.
Oh, that's sweet. Like that's nice. That's nice. Very sweet.
Rhinos like to do things simple.
Right. Right.
I mean...
From what I can tell, from the introduction to our next segment, all rhinos care about is money. So...
Not just care about money.
Well...
Didn't you just get scolded on Twitter about this yesterday?
You guys have a lot of stereotypes to overcome, and... Gays are now in the military. Maybe eventually rhinos will.
They've always been in the military. They just
now they're allowed to openly serve in the military. Maybe someday rhinos will be allowed to not be rich, or at least be perceived as rich.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
Heartless and soulless.
Are you against people that are make? You're a socialist, aren't you?
No, absolutely not. Frankly,
you're because you're like, oh, maybe one day rhinos won't be rich.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
We're capitalist pigs, man.
And bless you for being capitalist pigs.
Then why are you against us making money? You know,
I was against you making money. You can make as much money as you want. I'm just saying that all you care about is money. There's a difference between making money and only caring about money.
What's wrong with caring about money?
Because all you care about is money and yourself. You don't care about others.
I'm not, we then, do
that,
care
that,
about
that
others.
Doesn't mean we that doesn't mean that you have to give your money away to people or anything else. I'm just saying that all you care about is yourselves and your money.
We let the gays serve openly in the military now, don't we?
Yeah, I guess you do. Ain't that
eight of our rhino buddies got a hold of that and took care of business.
Oh, Mark.
Hey, but Dick Luger is no longer a rhino in my book.
Why?
Because he voted against it.
Really? I missed that.
Yes,
surprised.
Dick Luger voted against it.
Dick Luger votes against Don't Ask, Don't
yeah,
Tell.
He lost his. I emailed his office and told him to turn in his rhino card. Sir, you need to turn in your rhino card. But I don't want to. Yes, you voted against this.
Did
I'm
you
sorry.
Tell him to hand it over to Richard Burr, who shockingly voted for it?
Yeah, and then I actually extended Olympia Snow's and Lisa Murkowski's rhino cards.
Oh my gosh, can you tell me? I bet Alaskans are a little annoyed right now.
Yeah, I extended their membership for another 2 years.
Well, I think they can serve at least another. Well, Snow or Collins.
My
father's
saying that. I extended their membership in the Rhino.
That's awfully nice of you, Mark. Mark, thanks for being part of this week's show. I hope you and your lovely wife, who I only met for the first time this year, after knowing you for 3 years, have a wonderful Christmas.
Oh, we will. But you... So I have to wait and hear what you have to say about your traditions?
Yes, you do. That's coming up later in the show.
I suppose you wake up early.
No, Mark, you know me. You know me. I'm not one to
wake up. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. The kids and the wife get up early, and you get up at noon and go, has Christmas started yet?
Something along those lines.
Something along those lines.
That's right. All right, we got to go. The segment's over. Thank you, Mark.
No problem.
You have a good Christmas.
You too.
Stick around here on Gillespie. Up next is the much-awaited-for, the ballyhooed, if you will, Ask a Rhino. Coming up next, Sean Hackbarth and Miterbox. Stick around. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. All right, man. Thanks. Thank you. That's Josh Gillespie of FTRRadio.com's Gillespie. Hey, have you ever been out and realized that you're about to miss your favorite FTR program? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You download the Shoutcast app to your smartphone. That way you will never miss another FTR show. So if you think you're going to be out and you're going to be up, you're about to miss Fingers Malloy and the Snark Factor, you're about to miss Jenny Erickson, or you're about to miss the Loud Talker, the Needle, have no fear. Download the Shoutcast app. Hey, you can even listen to my show, Gillespie, airing every Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on FTRRadio.com. Download the Shoutcast app today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time again for the wave that's taken the nation by storm, where I put so-called Republicans on the spot. Are they real GOPers or just Republicans in name only? It's time for Ask a Rhino!
Well, I am pleased as punch that we have two of the premier rhinos in the Twitterverse on this week's Ask a Rhino. First of all, we have Sean Hackbarth, who many of you may know as a Rhino I Know, a Republican in name only, so that'll be fun. And then we have the elusive Miterbox, who is from, if you check his profile on Skype, he is registered in Jim DeMint's Alaska. So, gentlemen, thank you for being a part of Ask a Rhino this week. I'm thrilled. Hopefully you can hear me. This is the first time I've actually tried Power Grammo, so... But we're going to go ahead and get right to the questions from our studio... Well, not our studio audience, but our Twitter audience.
People actually gave you questions?
Yes, we got questions!
They actually did this?
Yes. Yes. I kid you not. People,
wow.
People actually use the hashtag AskARhino. I'm working on getting more people involved, but, you know, I get some people. But playing off the intro music, which was the Flying Lizards' Money, It's What I Want, our first question comes from Twitter handle ChefBrink, and he asks, is it better to purchase a plane, lease one, or use NetJets?
Well, let me take that one first. It all depends on what your tax bracket is.
Ah. Okay. Well.
And then also, you got to figure out how you can push off the real. If you can write off the whole thing to your company, then you buy it, and then you can be like, anything less, and then you got some. I mean, dealing with various issues like that. You just what you got to end up doing is hiring a good accountant, namely my mother, who is not a rhino.
Oh, Sean, I don't know if then we can use her.
You can't? Oh, come on, she's a Democrat.
Oh, my gosh. Well, she's probably a good accountant, then. But, okay. So, depending on your account status, it is better to buy one.
If you really want to, you just for the status symbol, you should really have that the top of the line NetJets card with you at all times, just so you can flash it at someone. Just say, "Hey, look what I got."
Well, I mean, clearly, the bigger issue is not the buying or the owning of the plane. It's really where you want to park it.
Ah.
I mean, because you might want to just keep it, in Connecticut, for tax reasons, of course, because that's the patriotic thing to do is to. Keep your vehicles in another state.
In another state, absolutely, right. Absolutely.
And if not Connecticut, the Bahamas.
Right.
That's right. We got to look for ways to avoid paying taxes here if you are a true rhino.
And that way you can actually rent it out.
Yeah. Well, moving on here, this is actually kind of a repeat of last week's opening question. This one comes from Fingers Tiberius Malloy, who many know from the Snark Factor, but I don't think he felt like he got a good answer from our two previous rhinos, Dina Fraioli and Mark Warner. He asks, who the hell do you people think you are? No, seriously, who the hell do you people think you are? He says he's going to hang up now and listen to your response on the air. So I guess, in a sense, explain yourselves.
That's a very existential question.
Well,
I use the word existential. Let's see. How many syllables? Existential. That's a four-syllable word. That's way too elitist. Sorry.
That's right. That's clearly another one of your problems.
One of many.
Well, the fact that you're a rhino in name only, I mean, I'm really kind of curious. Sean, actually, explain that to us. How did you become a rhino in name only?
Well, once upon a time, Josh, I moved to Washington, D.C. to thought what I was going to do is do a little bit helping the movement and play do a little politics and help the cause. Then at some point, just for the simple fact of me living inside this piece of asphalt and concrete called the Beltway, I was accused of not really being a true conservative, whatever that means, or even being a Republican. So therefore, someone actually accused me once of accused me of being a rhino simply because of where I lived. And when I got that, once I heard that, I just realized the term rhino really doesn't have much meaning anymore. So I decided, okay, I could either argue and bitch about it all the time, or I could embrace it by just claiming I'm a rhino in name only. And let people who accuse me of being a rhino try to figure it out.
Miterbox, how did you become a rhino?
Well, I mean, actually, I started out as a rhino hunter.
Oh.
And the great thing is, you know, rhino horn is an amazing aphrodisiac, if you don't know. And see, you know, actually, in Jim DeMint's Alaska, we almost ran out of rhino horn until we realized that you can really just call anyone a rhino and take their horn. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people out here, and there's always going to be someone to the left of you and someone to the right of you. And just because, you know, you don't agree with me on every single issue, that doesn't make you Nancy Pelosi. That doesn't make me Barry freaking Goldwater. You know, that just makes you an idiot. You know,
but it makes you Steny Hoyer.
That's right. You're Steny Hoyer. Okay.
Yeah.
You know. That's all.
Oh, gentlemen. This is good. This is good. Kurt Schlichter of Andrew Breitbart's Big Hollywood. This is his second question in as many weeks. He asks, are you a bold visionary, a lonely voice of sanity, or a powerful combination of both?
I consider myself to be a teddy bear. A teddy bear stuffed with razor blades.
Oh. Oh. Interesting. So you want to be lovable, but you'll be sharp when you need to be.
No, absolutely. I mean, when people have accused me of being a rhino or not being conservative enough, more often than not, I'm just thinking, you know, for the most part, I've actually, not to be an arrogant SOB, which I can be, but I'm going to be anyway. I've actually studied more of this stuff. I think I've read more deeply on a lot of this stuff over the years than anybody who's ever accused me. So somebody comes up to me and says, you're not conservative enough. I think in many ways, I'm probably more conservative and know it than you are.
Ooh, so you're a know-it-all rhino. Interesting.
Yes, I was an elitist before elitists were cool. I mean, not cool. I mean, despised.
Despised. You were establishment before it sucked to be establishment. All right. Well, here's a serious question to pose to both of you. As you know, Michael Steele is currently in running for his very political life by running for re-election as RNC chair. With the mountain of people who are challenging him, how do you feel about the chairman's race? Who is your candidate of choice?
You know, honestly, on this, I'm going to have to stand with the majority of Americans and say I have no idea who any of these people are. I don't know what the RNC actually does, because in the last election, you know, the fundraising, really all the fundraising just went to the incumbents. It didn't actually go to the House seats where we captured the majority. It didn't go to the new senators that we picked up. It really just got passed around. It was really the subcommittees that actually you know, did all the work and did all the roots effort, and it was actually the grassroots fundraising that did all that. So I really don't know who any of these people are or why it even matters.
And I think that's a sign of why Michael Steele doesn't deserve us another term.
As opposed to Mike Duncan, who basically, you know, is responsible for Obama's first 2 years of legislative, you know, victories.
No, I wouldn't say that. Now, the point of the RNC is to raise a bunch of money and to help out with help assist various state parties in multiple ways. In really this last cycle, Michael Steele did not do that. He decided he was going to try to be a big loud voice for the Republicans, and as we saw early on and continuing through these last few years, he's awful at it. He got to the point where congressional Republicans on Capitol Hill would just laugh at what the RNC was doing. I'm sure they did some various other things well, but I mean, you see on the fundraising side, I mean, all the money that used to go to the RNC went to these new what they call super PACs and stuff like that, American Action Network and American Crossroads and things like that. So whoever's going to be the next RNC chairman, their primary goal has to be to get the big donors back to the RNC to make a case for why they should be giving money to the party rather than through some other outside group or something like that.
But Sean, Michael Steele sat down with the heartbeat of America, the Tea Partiers. Doesn't that count for something?
Yeah, it does. And I think the next RNC chairman should do that too, because everyone in the conservative movement plays a role. The Tea Parties have done amazing things to create a lot of energy and to get a lot of attention, mostly positive. And they've just really gotten a lot of people who got sick of politics and the way things were going and got them involved again. And that's a benefit. But there's also something to be said about people who have track records and years of experience actually running campaigns and winning elections and building infrastructure and sustaining this infrastructure. And so whoever's going to be running the RNC next has to find a way to connect well with the grassroots while also connecting well with donors and political professionals and politicians. We're all on the freaking same side. And it just drives me nuts when people start to get into these little EDB, I mean, for the most part, petty arguments like, "Oh, you're wrong on one little issue, therefore, you're suspect, and we shouldn't trust you," and things like that. It's one thing to be skeptical. I think everybody should be skeptical of politicians on every level. I am, but it's another to just almost be nihilist and just try to. It just gets frustrating. So,
all right. Miterbox, you got anything else to add to this?
What I really think is what Nancy Pelosi is trying to say is that it's really the party's money and not the donors' money. I mean, we won. Be happy. It doesn't really matter, you know, if all the money goes into one big pot or whether it actually goes to pots people are happy. We won. Be happy.
You know? I got to score one to Miterbox there, Sean. I mean, Nancy.
Nancy.
Speaking, you know,
it's the Botox. That's what it is. It's all about that Botox treatment.
Now we can segue into Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I believe. But.
Actually, I was about to. Don't get ahead of me here. All right. Okay. Two of the rhinos' biggest issues, if you are a true rhino, came up in the Senate this past weekend. One was met with a shrugging victory, with a bunch of "All right, whatever." And the other one was, you know, all rhinos were disappointed that our borders will remain a blockade for those innocent lives wishing to create new life here in America illegally, with the death of the Dream Act. Miterbox, if you would expound a bit here on the victory and the surprising yes vote from Richard Burr of Jim DeMint's North Alaska's, it's his northern neighbor there.
Of course.
He supported Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Well,
explain why a rhino. Is Richard Burr now a rhino?
I think so. I think that he's so conservative that he's now gone back to the other side, and clearly, you know, he's probably spends a lot of time in airport bathrooms and just has to, you know, sort of cover himself right now. No, I mean, I you know, actually having served in the Army for some time, you know, we all knew that there were gay people around us, and you know the old phrase, you don't have to be straight to shoot straight. It's just, you know, I was in the Army at the time when there was a lot of sexual harassment going on and a lot of policies came down, and it really, that the political correctness is really what hurt morale more. Although I think, you know, you always could have been gay, just not fabulously gay. You know, just, you know, there's certain things you can't do in formation. Okay, so I really think that the political correctness is going to hurt morale a bit, but not as much as the uncertainty of, well, you know, maybe we do allow gays, maybe we don't. You know, the military, it's an organization. It's going to do what it's told, and in the end, it's probably going to be stronger because of it. But, you know, liberals shouldn't kid themselves that it's going to be all rainbows and glitter from here on in. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe now we can actually talk about, I don't know, Afghanistan, Yemen, Nigeria, Sudan, Somalia, Pakistan, North Korea, or the other, you know, thousand little piss holes that we should probably invade or bomb, you know, one of the two.
Will we start seeing rainbow flags in fatigue colors?
Actually, I think you're going to start seeing a couple patches, you know, that you know, because it's all Velcro now, so it's easy access. You know, you just slap them off. You're going to have, you know, little pink airborne wings. It's really going to be a great time, you know, to be in a foxhole.
Now, does this mean our average soldiers and Marines will be dressing better?
I think so. I mean, you know, Shinseki got the berets for everybody a long time ago, and I just felt so, so, so amazing when I put mine on.
Which brings me to my next question. Has Miterbox ever been sexually harassed while he was serving?
Look.
Oh, good question.
As long as you say good game after you slap somebody, it's not sexual harassment, okay?
Now, is that when you're before or after you play a set of a match of volleyball?
Oh, it has nothing to do with sports.
Okay.
You just walk down the hall and say it somewhere. Good game. You didn't say good game, Brad. I know. See you in the showers.
Okay. The Dream Act, though.
The Dream Act. The Dream Act. You know, the military actually already has a program for, I don't know if it's for illegals, but it's definitely for people outside the country to gain citizenship through service. It takes about 3 years, I think, for the Army. About 3 years for the Marines. I'm not quite sure the other branches. And I just don't really see any reason to extend the same dream benefits our brave soldiers fight for to, you know, those enrolled at the University of Phoenix. I just don't see that. You know, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm a racist rhino.
What about ITT Tech? Come on.
ITT Tech. Yeah.
Or DeVry.
Right.
What about DeVry?
And you know, what the Dream Act did is essentially all you have to do is enroll, and then the entire deportation process stops. You know, there's not going to be anybody that went back and actually verified that you attended, verified that you graduated. Essentially, it's just all the paperwork freezes for at least 2 years, and then you just have to go back and re-enroll again.
Interesting. Well, on my last question to pose to both of you here, as we come to a close of what I consider another win for Ask a Rhino, Emily Borkholder, hostage Hoosier on Twitter and contributor to my website, Hoosier Access, she asks, why are rhinos so unbelievably hot?
It's the berets.
It's the berets.
It's
Sean,
the fact...
You, I was just saying, Sean, the fact you weren't that, in the military.
No, I was not in the military, so my excuse is Edmund Burke.
Edmund Burke?
Sure.
I don't recall Edmund Burke being hot.
By comparison?
Well,
have you seen pictures of Rousseau?
Now you're challenging me. The quick answer is no. Not that I can recall. So.
Okay.
All right. Emily, that wasn't a good question. All right, anyway. Either that or these guys are just too ashamed. They're just so self-conscious to acknowledge why rhinos are so unbelievably hot. Anyway, guys, thank you for being a part of this week's segment of Ask a Rhino. It has been a pleasure. And this brings us
well,
to the end.
It's been something.
It's definitely been something. Sean Hackbarth, Mitre Box.
Good
it's
game.
Been a, it, good, 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 good game. Good game. Absolutely. Well, is that a virtual slap? Is what
Don't touch me
at?
There.
Oh, I'll get you later.
Gentlemen, thank you for being a part of the show. You're listening to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. Good tidings for Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding. Oh, bring us a figgy pudding and a cup of good cheer. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. We won't go until we get some. So bring some out here. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Stories. We all love them and we all have them. Whether you're a candidate, public office, or a small business, you have a story which is incredibly unique to you. The problem isn't having a story. The problem is how to tell your story. And that's where my friend Jacob Berry comes in. Jacob is a gifted storyteller who has the added bonus of being an experienced campaign professional, marketer, sales professional, and small business owner. Not only can he put the right words together, he knows exactly what needs to be said and how to say it. So the next time you need a speech, sales letter, article, or marketing piece, trust the professional I go to. Trust Jacob Berry. You can reach him on the web at www.jacobberry.us. Give him a call at 772-678-0820. That is 772-678-0820. Or drop him a line at jacob@jacobperry.us. Ready for it? It's the Saturday. It's going to be a fun time. I love this time of year. I really do. It's a very introspective time of year. I know it can be difficult for some people, but I do absolutely love this time of year. The one thing that I especially love is tradition, the tradition that comes with spending time with family over the holidays. And I get to spend this Christmas with my in-laws, so we get to celebrate their traditions this year. But I wanted to celebrate some of my traditions with you, my FTR listening audience, and hopefully that you can get some of the same satisfaction that I do. So I have a roaring fire here in the fireplace, and I got some music going, and I'm going to share with you a fabled Gillespie tradition, which I've passed on to my family. And what I remember growing up, you know, I'd come out of my room, and I would go to the fireplace where my stocking would be hung, and there would be filled, chock full of G.I. Joes, and maybe a Transformer, I don't know. I can tell you how old I am. Wait a minute, those things are popular today, aren't they? Wow. Time flies. Love the 80s. Anyway. But I remember waking up, I loved the... depends, maybe there would be snow on the ground, maybe there wouldn't, but I loved the smells in the morning. My mom would wake up early on Christmas morning, the turkey would be in the oven, it would be getting ready, there would be the sights and the sounds and the smells of Christmas. Every Christmas, my mom would make this... pastry that was called stolen or swaddling clothes, essentially. It was a pastry that was supposed to look like the swaddling clothes that wrapped the Christ child that first Christmas morn. That actually did not take place in December, but that's a discussion for another Gillespie. Anyway, but I remember the sights going to my stocking and getting the gifts that were from Santa, seeing the letter that was written by Santa to me, curiously in my dad's handwriting. Anyway, and it's these things that I've treasured, but the thing that I treasured most on Christmas morning was when my dad would read from Scripture the true meaning of Christmas about the birth of the Christ child. And I wanted to share that with you here quickly, and I'm going to combine some things. I'm going to combine verses from the Old and New Testament so that we know that this is a fulfilling of prophecy. I'm going to start in John chapter 1, read a couple verses here, read a couple verses in the book of Isaiah, and close in the book of Matthew. And anyway, this is a Christmas that we celebrate here in the Gillespie household. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. From the book of Isaiah. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. From Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it was written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler, who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Friends, this is the true meaning of Christmas. I want to wish you and yours a wonderful Christmas this year. I hope that the Lord has truly blessed you this year. This has been a great 2010 in many respects. It's also presented its own fair share of trials. But I hope that you are finding peace this season, that you are being richly blessed, that you are spending time with family, friends, and loved ones, and that you find time this year to reflect on what has happened. And I hope that you've found yourself in a good place. For now, I leave you with a bit of another story, and your instant of clarity.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown, I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.